Oh, man. You know, it's a frosty morning when you have to de-ice the inside of your car. Which is definitely how my, actually, I need that, definitely how my morning started. But then it got me thinking when I was praying coming into church and trying to like look through the frosted windscreen. I did wait for it to defrost. And just thinking, actually, you know, Father God, soften our hearts from the inside out. We want to give you what we have inside our hearts and unlock every area, every little ice crystal that is locking a little bit away. We want to open up to you, Father God, and we want you to be the one that thaws us out from the inside. So I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit. We have a biblical understanding that we have, it's working, a triune God. That is Father, Son, and Spirit. And we generally get the Father bit right. He's God in heaven. He's the one that's parenting us all. And we are his children. We get the Son, that's Jesus. That's God who came and lived among us in human form. That's Jesus. He came and he shared in our experiences and he reconnected that connection. He restored that connection between us and God. The Spirit, though, we tend to have a little bit less knowledge and understanding of the Spirit. Maybe a little bit more skeptical about the Holy Spirit. And with that uncertainty, we kind of like turn the Holy Spirit more into an urban legend. But the thing is, from in our Bibles, from Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit is present and active and essential. The tragic truth is that the modern church has become, in the modern church, the Holy Spirit's become ignored and has become overlooked. And to quote Tyler Staton, the Holy Spirit has become nothing more than a familiar stranger. That might not necessarily be true for every single individual or every single denomination and church up and down the country, but I dare say that for some of us, he's become a bit of a familiar stranger. A 2014 study on beliefs of Western Christians included this question: true or false, the Holy Spirit is a force, not a person. And 51% said true. 7% said, I don't know, and 42% said false. This survey was then conducted again in 2022 to track the trending changes and beliefs in Christians among committed followers of Jesus. And this time, 60% of responders said true. That means that over half of the Western world today believes that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the God, or the third person of the Trinity, believes that the Spirit is a power to be wielded, not a person to be known and be known by. See, this mystery has led to division across the Western world. And there's been a notable divide between Bible-believing churches and Holy Spirit churches, meaning there are some churches that major on teaching the Bible thoughtfully, intellectually, theologically, but the Spirit in those churches is absent in varying amounts. On the other side, you've got Spirit-led churches. Meanwhile, they are majoring on Holy Spirit experience and ministry, but tend to diminish the Bible to more of a spiritual pep talk. But the kingdom of God isn't an either-or kingdom. It's a both and kingdom, the Bible and the Holy Spirit, thinking and feeling, teaching and doing, preaching the gospel and praying for signs of wonders, hermeneutics and offering a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit, the church's bonding agent that has been there to unite the church from its birth in Acts, has somehow become the point which has driven churches apart over the years. Now, before you think that this is a message just on looking at the 21st century church and the differing views and opinions, that's not where I'm going. So this morning, let's have a quick look at what God is doing. So for some people, this is going to be the same old news, but I'm repeating it through because it's good news. We are standing at the dawn of a new cultural moment, and there's a change in spiritual temperature. Some have described this in whispers as a quiet revival, as if kind of like speaking out loud is going to stop it in its tracks. Interestingly, the tabloids and the media are picking up on it, and it's good news. Every single month, there is another thing going into the news or into social media from the broadcast, and for once, the church is being painted in a positive light. That is good news. Personally, I believe this is just the tip of the iceberg that we're witnessing in this quiet revival. And God has so much more for us. And this message is continuing on those last 6 weeks we've been doing, preparing ourselves for the mission field. And we are now going to be setting a model of how we understand and communicate with the third person of the Spirit in order that we can be, the Spirit can be present and at work inside of us. So what is happening in the world around us? And again, to catch you up, I have borrowed some of my notes from a speaking earlier on this year. Today's young adults are far more open to experience than the previous generation ever were. We have walked out of the heyday for apologists, where the boomers and the greatest generation were demanding proof and explanation and resisting a relationship or an experience with God. They were in a mindset of win my mind, and then maybe you can have my heart. Maybe I'll follow you, God, if you prove yourself to me. We've walked into a moment where millennials and Gen Z are entering into our churches on the hunt for God through a tangible experience of their own. Whether that is resonating with scripture in the Bible, whether that's resonating with a message that's delivered, whether that is resonating with worship, whether it's resonating with a prophetic word that's given to them. They are simply putting language to what they have seen. And that is winning their trust and it's winning their hearts. We've heard so many stories. We went on the weekend away and Ness was sharing stories and Rach was sharing stories after stories. I don't have time to share those. Go back and listen to those again. It was so encouraging to hear these testimonies and stories coming out time and time again. And there are so many of them. Go and look for that good news. So now across the board, this mystery around the Holy Spirit is suddenly being replaced with an openness, maybe even hunger. And historic divides that have been there between churches are starting to blend into unity and partnership between these different denominations and different streams. And we're seeing that across Maidenhead. The unity between the churches and Maidenhead is growing stronger, and that is something to praise God for. So this morning, we're going to get reacquainted with this familiar stranger, the Spirit. And we're going to explore why this is the perfect time to be pressing into a relationship with him. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to let Jesus introduce the Spirit for himself. So the author John, he dedicates a quarter of his Gospel, that is a significant amount of time, to one conversation that Jesus had with his disciples gathered around a meal table. And he's repeating the same sentiment time after time after time. In fact, I think it's about four times. I can't remember, but he said something along the lines of, "Look, my days with you are numbered, but I'm sending you my Spirit, and that is even better." So according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a staggering improvement from a face-to-face conversation with himself. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, surpasses a relationship with God in human form. That's what he's saying. The thing is, we don't buy it. Nor did the disciples. Who here would trade anything for just one face-to-face conversation with Jesus? Yeah? The vast majority of us. It sounds like we're almost a little underwhelmed by the gift we've been given. That same thing that got Jesus so excited, even as he was walking to his own death. The better plan that Jesus had in mind didn't match up to the reality and the hopes and the dreams that the disciples had in mind. They had already imagined the kingdom of God, Jesus' kingdom coming, and it definitely had Jesus in it. Jesus in flesh with them. So what is so special about the Holy Spirit? And maybe the best question to ask us this morning is, what are we missing? Are we just playing with the wrapping paper of this present and we haven't even opened the box yet? So I will let Jesus introduce the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, Jesus refers to the Spirit at least 12 times, and every time he's using the same title, which is Parakletos, which when translated from the Greek, it means helper or counsel. And these are the words that Jesus used to describe his helper. So in 3:6-5, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born out of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. 7:39, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit. That was John filling in that gap there for those that didn't realize it. 14:16, I will ask the Father to give you another, to give you an advocate, to be your helper, and he'll be with you forever. 14:26, the Spirit, I will teach you all things, and I will remain, the Spirit will teach you all things and will remain with you, each of you will remain. Remain with you. He does remain with us. That's why we're getting confused. I remind you of everything that I've said to you. 15:26, when the advocate comes, he will testify about me. 16:13, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Sorry, it's a bit dark on the screen, I apologize. And 20:22, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is something to be received. Something tangible, real, and present. From this long but by no means exclusive list, an exhaustive list, we can see what this gift, this promised gift, looks like to us. The Spirit gives sustenance like a well. It gives spiritual rebirth. He provides help and teaching and wisdom. He provides company for us. He testifies of Jesus. That means he tells us Jesus' story and reminds us of that. And the Spirit brings truth, something that is definitely needed in this world, which is continually feeding us lies and alternatives. The Spirit provides us all that we need by its fruit: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, I missed peace, gentleness, goodness, I've completely messed up this list, I went backwards. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't miss another one out there. Faithfulness, thank you. I should probably read my notes, shouldn't I? The Holy Spirit gives us language to communicate with God by and an ear to hear our Father's response. Through the Holy Spirit, we can perform miraculous wonders and signs, healings and miracles, just like Jesus. And the Spirit gives us the wisdom we need in our day by day to make God-derived, God-centered decisions. The Holy Spirit is not a consolation prize after Jesus' resurrection and departure. The Holy Spirit is the intensification of his presence and the deepening of his love. The Holy Spirit takes the love of the Father and makes it ours. Holy Spirit takes the power of God and makes it ours. If all this amazing work that the Spirit provides us with has kind of like set us apart and confused us, and it's yeah, why have we, if this is all the amazing stuff the Spirit does, why have we diminished the Holy Spirit to be sat in the corner? So Cassia Adams, who spoke at Wildfires, gave this quote, which stood out to me so powerfully. At times, we treat the Holy Spirit like a drunk uncle at a wedding. He has to be in the room, but he is embarrassing, so we put him in the corner, far, far away, on a table over there. And we tell him where he can go and what he can do. And when we do this, it grieves the Spirit of God, because he is not some embarrassing drunk uncle. He is God in our midst, and he demands to have central space in our meetings, in our communities, and in our lives. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you practice living as an apprentice of him and you know and you love Scripture and the Bible, but have a distance from the Spirit or hardness towards Him, let's not just pay lip service to the Holy Spirit in a prayer or in a moment. Let's not consider Him as a consolation prize or simply abandon Him in the corner as we only spend time with Jesus or the Father. It's only by the work of the Spirit that we're able to do as Jesus did. If you're still just playing with the wrapping paper of this gift, like I said, maybe it's time to fully open the box and fully encounter the Spirit in its fullness and let God show you what He can do and see where that leads. And we know where it leads because Jesus told us. He said, whoever believes in Me will do the very works that I've been doing. How? By the very Spirit empowering these works. Jesus said, you can do even greater things than I've been doing, than you've been witnessing. We can only do that if we're at one with the Spirit. Now, we can deal with confusion. I'm setting apart confusion from hardness here. Because confusion, absolutely. We can spend time confused by what is the Spirit and maybe being misled or misunderstanding things. And often the Spirit has been misunderstood. So therefore, it's been popped to one side. But the Holy Spirit makes what is impractical, practicable. That means that and this is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's making what seems impossible to you and I, not only possible, but doable. And those impossible things can look like the supernatural, miraculous gospel ministry of Jesus that we are also called to, that seem completely impossible and practical. But it's through the works of the Spirit that we're able to do these things, and it's through practice by ordinary, flawed human beings, apprentices of Jesus like you and I. And what does this practice look like? So John Wember, who was a pioneer of the charismatic movement, once said, for anything to be picked up from the pages of Scripture and to be lived in community, you're going to need three things: a theology, a model, and a practice. A theology is a common understanding and belief on Scripture. A model is the way of expressing that belief here and now, and there's liberty in that expression. Each model can be dependent on its location, on its denomination, and you're very welcome to ours. It's called River Church. You're very welcome here. This is our model. This is what we do. We've got a common theology. We've got a way that we engage with it, and that is here. It's in our small groups. It's in our communities. And finally, you need a safe space to practice. And this needs to be done in community, in the model where it's okay to fail and learn the mechanics. This is a safe space. When a team gathers to practice, like a band, we were practicing on, what was it, Thursday evening for the carol concert. So when we gather as a band to rehearse and practice and play through things, there's an unspoken agreement that mistakes are okay, that perfection isn't demanded. It's a protected, safe space where the stakes are lowered and the pressure is off, and we're all on the same page. We're all a team looking to grow. And we need that for the main event. So when it comes to it, when it is a football team training, whether it is a band practicing for a gig or a Sunday service or whatever it looks like, that actually the work's been put in, so when you get there, you're able to do it. If every prophetic word that we give, every healing word that we offer, every discernment process we go through has to be spot on, Book of Acts level, we're putting an impossible pressure on ourselves. So what's compelling me to deliver this message about the Holy Spirit this morning? We are in need of the presence of God to be at work more than ever in our lives. God is at work around us, and we need to be effective and available to be able to work with Him, to be able to partner with Him. If we are going to be a group of missional people led by God, then how does He do that? By His Spirit. if we want to discern his voice in the everyday to guide us in how to partner best with him in this missional moment, then we need his Spirit. If we are to be changed people of God, living distinct lives from others, to be the best sandwich board advertisement for Jesus we can be, then we require the Holy Spirit to be at life in at work in our lives for us to be a changed people, for us to look distinctive from what the world has to offer. If we want to be able to pray for people in the street, to offer healing or a prophetic word to a stranger, we need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. If we are to live restored lives, humbly and wisely and carefully, then you guessed it, we need the presence of God. So we're going to move back into a time of worship. I invite you guys to join us again. And we just want to give space to God for the rest of this gathering, whatever it looks like. We want this to be a place where we can practice. We can practice praying with each other, bringing a word for each other. We can practice listening to God. This is a complete side note, but a message. I know that if you've read the River News email thing over the last couple of weeks, and I've been writing them, God's been pushing on my heart Sabbath at the moment, to be readdressing and looking at Sabbath. And one thing that he spoke to me before I went on the men's walking weekend, when I went to the Lake District, and he was talking about stopping and resting. And I heard this or read this, and I can't remember where, so I can't quote who said this, but it really spoke to me. And it was something along the lines of, if you go walking and you're just looking down at your feet constantly, then you will just get lost. But if you take time to stop, look up around you, to look at your map and slow down, then you're going to be aware of what's going on around you. And I really feel that that's what, aside from Sabbath, that's a great model of actually stopping, at least on a weekly basis, to take in the world around us, seek a new bearing point and head in the direction God's sending us in. But we can do that very much in the now as well. That actually in the stopping, in the looking up and the listening, you become more aware of what's going on in the world around you rather than just simply looking at your feet. You can trust that your feet are going to guide you where you need to go if you're keeping your eyes on the direction you're being led in. So we're going to move back into a time of worship. And we're going to be responding and asking for one thing, and it's that age-old prayer of come, Holy Spirit. We are calling for the presence of God to draw near to us, to lead us, to renew us, to change us, to restore us. We're going to take time to practice listening and moving with the Spirit. We're going to ask the Spirit to minister to us in this place. Let's stand and I'll pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are in this place. We honor your presence. You are God in our midst. We gather here hungry for you today. And we know that you are the God who can satisfy that hunger. We know that you won't leave us to go hungry. You want to offer us, and you are unwilling to send us away from here without being nourished by you. Come and fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. Fill every man and woman and child here in our church. Come and fill us up. Restore us. We pray for you to move in a real, tangible way among us this morning. We open our hearts and our minds and our bodies. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.